Days gone by, bad confusion. Hate on my revolution. They know my past, but can't carry weight on my back. If you can, what can I say? I got a ways to go. Just common sense, I got a ways to go. Live for the elevation. Breathe like my heart is racing. See past my fears in my ears or reward my
steady patience.
What can I say? I got a ways to go. Just common sense, I got a ways to go.
From March to February, I give my best in every.
All right, so this has been like a weird, this has been a weird week for me, nostalgia wise. Because I know, like, I've talked with you guys, like, while we weren't recording before about G4 coming back. Like, I loved that channel when I was, like, in high school and right after high school. Attack of the Show, X-Play, all that stuff. It was made for me to watch. And they returned this week. Like, the network itself came back. I watched a new episode of Attack of the Show today. And Kevin Pereira was on it. It was great. It was really fun. It was really fun. I loved it. You know what else?
I assume it's a online. Is it an online?
So they
channel.
No, it's actually on Comcast.
Is it? Oh.
Yeah, and so they. But for the Comcast version, they shoot it. They shoot these live streams, like these 4-hour blocks, basically, where they have like a pre-show and after show. The show itself is live on Twitch and YouTube. And then they edit it down from that for Comcast. And so I've just been watching the live streams, and they're fun as hell. I love them. Also tonight at 9 o'clock, Ski, I know you'll like this. The Living Legends are releasing their first new song in like 10 years. So that's happening.
Oh, just dropping a single.
Dropping a single for an album that's coming out. They have the album ready. They're just releasing their first single in 9 years, they said.
So before this, were you questioning whether they were actually living legends still?
Hey-o.
That's kind of a gap. I'm just saying, a decade. That's a long time.
I get it. The real answer is no, because I follow them on all the social medias. But yeah. And then tomorrow, or I think it's tomorrow, yeah, the 19th, the Cowboy Bebop show comes out. It's like the live action of the anime. It's a weird week, guys. I don't know.
What
it's
show?
Cowboy
Rocksteady
Bebop.
Rocksteady
and Bebop. Yeah. Yeah. Why didn't they make that show?
I think their characters were rather shallow, to be honest. It was just a bunch of snort, let's kill.
Yeah, a lot of depth in the rest of the characters on that show.
You gotta dive into those.
Raphael? Come on. Raphael was like an onion, man. That dude had layers. April O'Neil? Oh my goodness.
I mean, reporter.
She had so many daddy issues to go through.
She wore yellow. Oh, wait, you're talking about the other April O'Neil. Welcome to the podcast. Hey, I'm going to introduce us today, because I was realizing on Twitter today that because we got a couple of new listeners who were mentioning us.
New listeners.
New people that listened. I don't know if we need to leave it open-ended.
Yeah, they heard an episode. They might not return. Yeah, okay, I get it. But like it's on purpose. Me not doing like a formal introduction. I think it sounds better when people just drop in on our conversation. But it occurred to me that people listen to this and don't know who the hell we are, and so they're just like, "Wait, which one is that? Which one is that?" So I'm Braga. Ski, say something.
Yeah, I'm Ski.
That's Ski. And that's King. Are we allowed to say King? Are we allowed?
Yeah.
Okay. All right.
I mean,
I think there's a reason why.
Yeah. I think that ship had sailed.
Cat out of the bag at this point. Yeah.
Yeah.
So Ski is at TSB Ski. I run the at TSB Pod Twitter profile, and King is at Jeromini. King, known primarily for being featured on Deadspin.
One time.
Yeah.
One time.
But it was really like three. I just
yeah.
So was it a
just being
was
kind it of a humble
1080?
About
no big
it.
Deal.
Was it like a
so humble?
Was it like a 1080 the fan contributor also? Was that
I
like,
was yeah. Back before
I can
before
confirm.
Polls,
I can confirm you were
polls were a thing.
I can confirm
I gave
you were,
1080 the fan.
You were also
the idea to do polls.
We got to quit talking.
I'm doing that on purpose. I've seen you do it. Sorry.
You're fucking pissing me off, man. I am. I'm about to throw this mic at the computer, dude. It's fun. It's ironic that I was about to say you were, I can confirm you were featured on 95.3 The Score and Eugene many times as well, which is ironic because we used to talk over each other on that radio program all the time. So anyway, so.
And kind of some newfound trollism on you, King. I saw you, was that a couple days ago? You got a whole mess of people on one of your tweets.
You got to be more specific.
Narrow it down. Yeah,
yeah, man.
Well, you changed your profile pic and name to
the so Brendan Murphy tweet. Yeah,
so good.
That was good.
Explain that one.
Well, I mean, so when you're on Twitter, you know, there's this whole thing where you can just change your profile picture and your name, and sometimes you can trick people. So I was Brett McMurphy from at Stadium, I think. No, I think it's at the Action Network now.
Action Network, yeah.
Yeah, and so I just, you know, made a post that Jimmy Lake had agreed to a non-paying defensive advisory role at the University of Oregon as the Ducks are zeroing in on a CFP berth. And, hey, I fooled Jordan Reffitt, so.
Hey, uh-huh. Well.
It's all that matters.
I know it's probably, not the highest of bars. But he deleted it in like 2 hours when he got inundated with "you're an idiot." So,
so good. It was like
I love people that get caught by that. It's like if you take 5 seconds to look at the profile of some like crazy shit getting said, you can find out very quickly what's true and what's someone just talking to people.
I think the biggest fire that started out of that was. I forget the guy's name, but it's someone who writes for the Spokesman Review.
Yeah.
Retweeted it, quote tweeted it.
It was a Wazoo beat writer, if I remember.
Yes, and people were like, dude, you got God. And he went on this big rant about how Twitter needs to make it harder to impersonate people and blah,
just
blah,
look
blah.
At the handle, bro.
This is not journalistic integrity.
I can't believe Brett McMurphy has the handle at Jeromney. It's crazy.
I know. Yeah. I threw up like a letter 7 as the check mark. Like, come on, dude. Yeah.
I love tweets like that where people get caught and they don't do the work, they don't pay attention, whatever. And then they don't seemingly care. Or if they're politicians, like the Ted Cruz has done this. I remember Trump did one. Where he like retweeted something that was like just trolling. It was a trolling account and he like retweeted it and left it up on his page for like 3 days. And it's like, well, I know you sit on the toilet and tweet in the White House. Like I get it, but like you have a team who monitors this stuff, who can remove this and make you not look like an idiot. Like, why is that still there, dude?
I think his name is like Ken Klippenstein. Ken Klippenstein, I don't know. He's a politics bro. And he...
Frankenstein.
He'll do the thing where he'll, like, throw up a tweet to, like, Ted Cruz. But, yeah. Like, in the name, it'll say, like, Ted Cruz is a baby eater who flees to Cancun. Cruz retweets it. And it's like, dude! What? Can you read?
It's so good. Oh, it's so good. All right. Well, speaking of Jimmy Lake, he is unemployed. Did you guys see that coming? I sort of didn't. I mean, like I saw rumblings of it that people were saying, you know, he's not long for the job. Like he was already sort of not long for the job. And then he hit his player on the sideline. And that was just sort of going to be the thing that tipped it over and gave them a reason to fire him. A reason where they wouldn't have to pay him. To fire him. So that's what I was thinking. It's like, okay, well,
I think he's still getting paid.
I was going to get there. If they're going to fire him, I guess I get it. Because then it would be a with cause firing and they could not pay him. But then we find out he's getting fired and they're deciding to honor the contract. Like, what are you fucking doing as an athletic department, like, so now we're sort of seeing, like, speaking of like peeling back layers of onions, like, we're seeing what is wrong with Washington sports. And it's that they have people making decisions who are not good at their jobs. Like, if you are going to fire the guy and have an opportunity to, like, justify it and not pay the dude the millions and millions of dollars you just paid him, like, halfway into his first season, like, take the opportunity, stupid.
Well, someone must have gotten their ear and said, hey, you could try to fire him with cause here, but there's a good chance he's going to win it if he fights it. So you want rid of Lake, just fucking get rid of him, pay him, tell him to go away. That's what if you want him gone that bad. Because Blake would have fought for that money. There was too much money left on the table if they
was like
tried to fire him.
What was it, like $9.5 million?
Yeah.
He was not going to. He was going to fight for that tooth and nail.
And in fairness, they did write in, like, the offsetting money thing, you know, clause. He's going to be a DC somewhere.
Totally. He's a great
DC.
So
they're not going to pay the $9.5 million, you know.
Somebody is going to get a really good defensive coordinator.
Like, I take him
next year. Yeah. Or Oregon State should hire him yesterday. Like, I don't know. I frankly don't know what they're waiting for.
Well, like, but that's a weird work dynamic because, you know, he worked at UW the same time Jonathan Smith did, and they were kind of on equal playing fields. It takes a lot to bite the bullet and get directives from someone you were a peer of, you know, 3 years ago.
Well, what's the alternative? He's not going to be a head coach.
He can get a better job than OSU.
Can he?
Yes.
All right. We'll see.
Come on. What's
a better job than OSU right now that he could get?
As a DC?
Yeah.
Oregon.
Oh, trying to break some news?
Yeah. Da, 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 da.
We got DeRuiter heading somewhere here or what?
No, there's just so many big openings, you know. I mean, if he ended up at USC, or LSU, or you know, maybe Miami if that opens. Yeah, there's some big jobs.
Well, I'm not looking at it from his perspective. I'm looking at it from Oregon State's perspective.
Oh, like, no, they should offer him. Absolutely. Yes. Yeah. Absolutely.
Offer him yesterday. Like, hey, I hear you're looking for a job and you're also still getting $9.5 million. We'll pay you like $500K to be our defensive coordinator the rest of the year and the next 3 years.
It's funny you say that because I often wonder why schools and even NFL teams there's got to be like collectively bargained or something. There's got to be something against it where they just undercut the salary so much because they're like, well, hey, it's offset by the other university. So we'll pay you $650 even though you deserve $1.7 million, you know, whatever it is. And hey, we're draining the pockets from UW at the same time.
Right. Yeah, we'll use that
for maybe for a couple of years at least. You know?
Yeah, we'll use that extra money to pay your assistants. Like, if you want to bring in really good guys to be your position coaches, we'll pay them. Like, with that money,
in 2 or 3 years, we'll bump your salary back up when that other school is done paying you out.
Oh, shit.
I mean, right?
Time to renegotiate. You'll get that bump.
Yep.
Assuming the head coach doesn't get fired, then, you know.
Yes.
You'll be the interim head coach for a couple of games and then be gone.
Are you guys a little worried about this next UW hire? Because I mean, the Oregon program kind of got turned around. I mean, Oregon had Helfrich, who was a fairly good coordinator, was not a good head coach. Lake, pretty good coordinator, not a very good head coach. And what led from Helfrich was, you know, well, Taggart, but that was so short-lived, but that led into Cristobal. Or do you think UW is going to be so kind of like scared that they're just going to throw a shit ton of money at someone that's might do all right, but is not going to be, you know, the guy there for years to lead that program?
They're going to be hurt by the fact that there are so many other jobs that are going to be open, including USC. Like, just jobs that are frankly a lot better. Like, I know Washington fans like to think that place is a desirable place to work. It's not. It rains 75% of the year. Like, they have a good fan base when they're winning. They have, you know, a nice-ish stadium. But if we're talking about like premier programs in the country, Washington hasn't been it for a while. And so if you're going after big names, Washington's not going to get a big name. There's no way. I can't
envision. Got the money still to pay.
Yeah, but other schools do too. USC is going to get the best coach available. Well,
yes, they will.
Well,
but,
okay. On paper, they should. But they again, speaking of people in positions of power making horrible hiring decisions, the USC is really good at that. But
who's going to do worse, USC or UW? Who's going to make a worse hire?
UW, because Jen Cohen is still the AD. Yeah. And if you look at the entire UW landscape, I think the only good program they have is softball. And she's made like six hires since she's been there. And they've all
Are they bad at women's basketball again now?
I think they're like one of the worst.
Are they?
Yeah, they're really not good.
Yeah.
I think USC's fan base and people of importance who follow the program are so pissed off at this point that they're actually going to make a good hire this time at USC.
Just throw money at the hot, who's the hot coaches from a smaller school of thing.
They haven't done that. That's a thing. They hired a complete loser to take over their pro. Like they hired the interim guy. That's the laziest, most non USC shit like I've ever seen. And so I think the people who follow them are tired of that crap and tired of making bad decisions over and over again. Like since Pete Carroll, even like terrible. Like, not
you think
good.
It was even worse than letting Ogeron go?
Well, Ogeron
that kind of just flint.
Ogeron's not there anymore either. So
that star burned out real quick.
Yeah,
so
hey, quick. But he got. Hey, would you take a national title for whatever the remains of his?
I mean,
exactly.
Of course.
And Etsy would as well.
It's just funny. Ogeron went from a joke to leading maybe the best offense anyone has ever seen. And then the pandemic hits and they're bad, but he's got a divorce and Snapchats are leaking of him with naked chicks.
So
and
good.
All this. Like, and oh, you dog, you may look like jerky in a belt, but you horn dog. And then they were like, oh, you went 4-6. And then this year, oh, hey, you're worse.
And remember USC just could have hired him too. And they passed on him.
Yeah, probably.
Probably a good move. The Snapchats are absolute quality. Like they're so weird. Like it's the weirdest thing. Just seeing like Ed Orgeron kind of looks like a ball sack. And so just seeing like an old ball sack laying next to a really hot college co-ed in Snapchat pictures is the weirdest thing ever, man.
Well, the college co-ed Snapchats made sense to me.
Sure.
It was the ones where he was with people, with women of his adjacent age.
Right.
Because like, you're 47. Do you really want to throw a sext up on Snapchat, lady?
I love the way you're looking.
We know how the sausage is made. We don't. You're a little, you know, at that point, I don't know.
Oh God. All right. So we've been talking a long time and we haven't talked about the Ducks yet. So before we get to the Washington State game, we should probably talk about Pittman leaving.
Don't care.
Yeah. Micah Pittman is
womp, womp.
Micah Pittman leaving the program. So, I mean, essentially his best attribute for the team is his run blocking is really good. And he is essentially a surefire fair catcher on punt returns. So
he had
11
punt returns this year.
If you want a guy who is like going to catch the ball, not going to mess up the play, which is important. That is important. Like, I know it sounds like I'm making fun of him, but that is important. He was really, really good at it. I'm not concerned about punt returns for Oregon because they have a lot of really, really good athletes. Especially at wide receiver, who can do that. So I'm not necessarily going to miss that. I don't really care. The blocking might be a thing, you know, because who replaces him? Freshman. So now you're rolling in Hudson and Franklin into that, into his spot. And so who do you got now? You got Johnny Johnson III. You got Williams. You got Red. You got Franklin.
No, that's the thing though. Is
Hudson? Yeah.
Johnny Johnson III. It's probably done for the year.
Oh yeah, that's right.
And whispers around Red being out this week are they're there. They're out in the ethos or whatever, the atmosphere. The
ethos, right. Yeah.
So, I don't know. It's a bad week for it if you consider that Red and Johnson aren't going to play. But as a long-term thing, who cares?
Long-term,
who cares? I was going to say, the timing of this weird, though?
Agreed.
The timing of it, right? Does him leaving now help him at all to get to a different school?
Well, I mean, there is the early signing period now, but I think that's
whatever. That would still be past the January bowl game, right?
No, it's in December.
It's in December?
I think it's like the middle of – I think like that whole early signing period thing has just – that's why coaches get fired so early now, because you have to have your recruiting pretty much wrapped up by the middle of December, where it used to be in February, you know, like 3 or 4 years ago. But at that, but – on that point, he would just enter the transfer portal. He's going to be a take at a decent, many a decent a school. So
totally.
The timing is weird. Who knows? The thing that struck me the most about it was the discourse online where people were like, it's not selfish. He's doing what's best for him.
That by definition is selfish.
And I'm like, you don't have to be mad that it's selfish, but that it's a selfish move.
Like, definition of the word is selfish. When you're
not doing it for anyone else, he's doing it for him. I'm not mad about it, but you can't tell me it's not a selfish move.
And the timing is so weird. Like you're 9-1. Like the season is almost over.
He's from Calabasas. He doesn't care about the team stuff.
He doesn't.
Calabasas, man. If you want to do a deep dive on Calabasas athletes, a little soft.
I'd like that. Let's make that like soft. a recorded segment.
But wouldn't playing in a potential playoff game boost him up if he does like decent in it at all? I mean, it's exposure. It's big national exposure to, I mean, everyone. I mean, I get him leaving next year because he wants to go. If he goes to SC, it makes sense. They throw the ball 50 times a game. He wants to get 13 targets and deep. It makes sense.
What are the odds he ends up at SC?
80% chance he goes there.
Yeah.
Super high.
Super high.
Yeah. And by the way, what are the odds he actually does anything at SC?
Well, they throw the ball.
They throw it enough. Like I said, they throw it enough to get the targets in.
More than he did here.
He'll put up numbers wherever he ends up. If you want to be pro Micah Pittman and be like, shove it in your face, Mario, you'll get the numbers.
Yeah.
Yeah. So like I said, it makes perfect sense for him to leave after this year. But like, again, I go back to, it's just such a weird timing to leave right now, especially if, like you said, if Johnny Johnson's out for the year, all of a sudden he slots up even higher.
And Red, too.
It makes no sense. He's
the number two guy, like immediately. I don't know.
It had to be purely that he thinks they're not showcasing his abilities, which is probably deeper routes or, I guess, the quick screens. He doesn't really get those too often, but.
Yeah, I don't know what his skill set is. I don't know what his skill set is.
I think he's a screen guy.
Quick screen, yeah.
Quick screen and blocks guy. So what?
I think he thinks he could run. He's the deep post guy. Like, I mean, if you look at his brother in the NFL, that's kind of how he is. He's a
don't look at his brother. 20, compare him to him. No,
but I'm saying from his eyes, that's what he sees his brother. He says, "I should be like that too."
It's a good point.
I think that's what he.
It's a good point, and it reminds me of what we were talking about a couple weeks ago, where it's like these are 19 and 20 year olds, and so they're self centered. They're emotional. They, got stuff going on where maybe they just, I'm tired of this crap. I don't want to.
Maybe his dad was been chirping in his ear.
Yeah, dad was chirping online. That's for sure.
Which makes me think he might have been chirping in his ear too.
Yeah, I think he called the coaches liars.
Yeah.
I don't know. I don't know what's to lie about. Did they tell him he's going to get 10 catches a game? Something tells me they didn't.
So. Well, my thing about clearly he's okay, but whatever. Maybe his mom has cancer or there's something dark.
Yeah.
You know, okay, but whatever. He's transferring because he's not getting touches, right? That's basically what we can deduce.
That's it. Yeah.
Okay. If you want to showcase yourself with touches, return a fucking punt. Because you want to know what? If you just go like 14 yards, dang, they're going to say, oh, wow, he's good with the ball in his hands. He's, every single time, fair punt, fair punt, watch it bounce, fair punt, watch it bounce, fair punt, watch it bounce, watch it bounce, fair punt, fair catch, fair catch, fair catch. I mean, if you want to be selfish there.
Yeah, right.
Just do it.
Make a play when you have the ball in your hand.
Do something.
They're giving you that opportunity, and you are throwing your hand in the air. You're throwing the... You're throwing the white flag in the air every single time.
Especially if you're an NFL scout, you know, profiling a kid, you don't need to see too many routes to see if they, you know, what kind of speed or anything they have. But when he showcases his blocking, I think that helps his draft stock way more. I mean, look at a lot of the wide receivers and tight ends that Oregon's put in the NFL. They're all pretty good fucking blockers. None of them are really great pass catchers, but we still see them. We still see them out there. I mean, Juwan Johnson's out there. That dude's not the fastest or has the best hands.
That guy has had a great season, by the way.
But he's a real mismatch as a tight end, I'll say that.
He is. All right, should we get into the Cougs?
Yeah, we've spent enough time on a guy with 20 catches in 3 years.
Yeah, I'm kind of over it. I was kind of over it when I heard about it. So Ducks win. You know, really good third quarter, really good fourth quarter. You know, after being tied at halftime, really good first quarter. I think it can be said. Anthony Brown, 17 of 22, 135 yards and a touchdown, 17 carries, 123 yards and a touchdown. He was unstoppable running the ball.
We getting that Tebow offense going?
I'm into it.
Just quarterback power. Quarterback sweep.
Look, it took Oregon like 8 or 9 games to figure that out. But once they did, it's been nice. Like I was watching that game thinking that what Oregon was doing to Washington State is what Stanford used to do to Oregon, where Stanford would 5 and 6 yards, 5 and 6 yards, 3 yards, 6 yards, 3 yards, 6 yards, maybe a play action pass for 17 and then run 3 more times and then score a touchdown and just take the fucking air out of the ball. Like Washington State did not see the football. Oregon controlled that game essentially from start to finish. The offensive line with, you know, Walk got hurt. Forsyth is back. Just completely controlled the game. And I want to give credit to Brown because Brown made good runs. He was powerful. He was fully in control of the offense. But the offensive line won the game for the Ducks. And and defense as well. Defense, you know, made some plays.
Moorhead clearly found an exploit watching film because there was probably a good, 6 to 7 where he didn't have anyone in front of him for 6 or 7 yards.
Yeah,
I don't know if this might just be a one-off game just because he must have saw something and thought he knew he can exploit it. But like I said, the offensive line looked great. Brown throwing the ball kind of went back a little bit to his, you know, check down on 3rd and 8 kind of thing instead of
throwing
it to the sticks.
The check down to the running back on 3rd and long is just such a fucking... Like, I get why he did it. It's because they took away everything downfield. But God, just... If you're going to punt anyways, like throw the ball down the field. Ugh. But then again, if he does that and throws a pick, then we're killing him for it. So whatever. But again, Cardwell, 9 carries, 98 yards, 2 touchdowns. He has looked really good last few weeks.
I mean, toss that one where he had the biggest hole in the world, that first touchdown.
Yeah.
But he had 2 real nice, like kind of sat and wait to find a hole and cut back into it.
The last touchdown where he's running to the left and then Brown lead blocks for him, but he waited for Brown and the offensive line to set it up. That was a thing of absolute beauty.
Because if you looked at like Verdell and Dye, they just get the ball in their hands and they they just follow where the hole, you know, the play hole is, and Verdell, they just run hard right through it.
Verdell runs so hard into people, like
just yes, exactly,
as fast as he possibly can into a lineman. Dye finished 18 carries, 88 yards and a touchdown. Also caught a touchdown pass on six catches. Offensive line just two weeks in a row rushing for over 300 yards as a team. That's all you really got to say. They're playing really on top good of, right now.
Yeah. And then you go the other way on the defensive line, but they held Borgie to what, like 50 yards rushing?
Borgie. God. I can't believe
somehow he's still there. Fucking Borgie.
I cannot believe he's still there.
If Wazoo just decided to run on the outer edge, he would have had like 150 yards.
They
couldn't contain him. They just didn't. They just only ran it like five times. Other than that, it was like, hey, let's run it right at Brandon Dorlus.
Right?
Yeah.
All right. Okay.
And then let's drop back to pass and then single team Thibodeau. Because we haven't seen all season how that goes for teams when they block him with one guy.
I think they must have negative rushing yards outside of those like five plays on the edge.
Absolutely.
Well, yeah, and then those run plays on the last drive too, where Oregon thinks they're going to pass and has a bunch of backups in, and they run draws for 30 yards. Oh, speaking of that last touchdown, woo, baby! Oh. They did a nice feature on Bad Beats with Scott Van Pelt about that.
SVP, yeah.
Woo! That was a good one. And you called it, King. Like, I remember you tweeted about it. You said, it's like, what are the chances that Mario gives up a touchdown here to give up the cover?
It's just, it's so dumb.
he's playing a character, man.
Dude, fucking cover at home, guy. Just... Yeah.
There's some breaking news. Legend Josh Rosen entering the game here for the Falcons. Yeah. Didn't know he was still in the league. Did not know.
He was a Niner for the preseason this year.
Was he?
Yeah. 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 Speaking of.
Legendary... I do like the Falcons throwback.
Track. And he throws a pick. And Fine. He throws. Come on, big man. Pick six. Oh, Van Noy. Yep. Well, yeah. Go back away, Rosen. Let's forget that you even came in this game.
Super glad. Yeah, exactly. Well, the fucking Patriots about to move to 7-4. I don't get the NFL, man. I really don't. And by the way, your Chiefs now just back in the saddle.
I know.
Once again. God damn.
And your Niners.
If they beat the Cowboys on Sunday.
Y'all forgot.
They're back, baby.
Oh, y'all they forgot? Y'all forgot about Mahomes? Okay.
But if they lose, okay.
Okay.
I just think it's hilarious that Mahomes is having like this abominable, terrible, no good, awful year. Everyone has figured him out, and he's one touchdown away from leading the league in touchdown passes. Yeah.
You called out Mina Kimes for it. Mina Kimes pointing out the fact that, like, on your side, pointing out facts that passes are going through receivers' hands and getting intercepted. Cool. So he's still pretty good at quarterback.
He's
everyone.
Still pretty good.
He's still pretty good.
And I will say, in fairness,
not as good
Aaron
as Jimmy,
Rodgers
not
plays.
As good as, not as good as Jimmy G. But
well, no one is. No one is. Except for in the Super Bowl, but whatever.
Except everybody. Yeah.
Yeah, except for most quarterbacks.
So if Aaron Rodgers isn't a COVID idiot, then they probably lose the Packers. And I will say, in fairness, the Raiders have had about the most tumultuous month in NFL history with Gruden, Ruggs, and whatever that guy is on IG Live throwing up guns saying he's going to kill people. But it was a rough 3.5 weeks for the Raiders. But like I said, if they beat the Cowboys, oh baby, Chief Kingdom is back. 7-4, 7-4 might be the one seed. Who knows?
I got to tell you though, everything you said about the Raiders sounds pretty Raiders.
It is very Raiders.
Every one of those things. I don't want to like make light of the manslaughter DUI, but that does sound pretty Raiders, you know?
Yes.
I honestly, so I don't have a heck of a lot of things that we should really talk about with the Ducks and the Cougs.
I thought you'd be chomping at the bit to talk about your Niners beating up the Rams. Isn't a Niners wet dream that game? I mean,
it was one. So they always beat the Rams. So let's just get that out of the way. I don't know what it is about Shanahan and McVay, but they always beat the Rams.
And the Rams always beat the Seahawks.
Yep.
Yes.
But I just, it was one of the most enjoyable football experiences I've had this year. Like it was just so fun to watch my team play at the, like, you know, be somewhat healthy, like have Kittle back, have pieces back that they're supposed to have. And then actually put it together.
He threw another one.
He threw another one?
Yeah, it was almost another pick six. The guy almost fell over.
Oh. Rosen, the chosen.
I was like, did that Niners game not look like how Mario wants the Ducks to look? Just pound the run. And Garoppolo, I don't think, threw too many passes over like 12 yards.
Well, other than
the dink and dunked.
The touchdown to Debo, like late.
Yeah, that was like a 10-yard catch that he caught and ran.
No, the throw at the end, the fourth down throw was a fucking dime. That was like in the middle of three defenders. That thing was money. He was so efficient. Like, it was amazing. But it was totally Anthony Brown, 17 of 22, 135 yards. That's basically what Garoppolo did.
Yeah.
Yeah. And then handed off basically to Debo Samuel. Like, this is what I love, is they have pieces back now to where they can use Debo Samuel in that way, where they can line him up next to Garoppolo in the backfield and hand off to him on a read option play. Like, get Debo the ball, because Debo is fucking unstoppable when he has it in his hand. So I don't know. They're getting Greenlaw back this week too. It's a bunch of pieces are coming back, getting healthy again. And so I don't know. They could make a run. They dug a pretty big hole. So I don't know. And being in a division with the Rams and the Cardinals this year is not ideal, but
not optimum.
Yeah. No, not optimum.
Yeah. Yeah.
So Seahawks,
I don't know how
nice to see them at the bottom though. I will say that
they ain't leaving that bottom. They are there.
Wow. Russ was so bad against the Packers.
Pete Carroll, man, that guy hasn't adjusted for 8 years.
Yeah, that's a fact.
It might be time, Pete.
Time to go back to USC. Oh, here we go. Pete Carroll's like 80 years old, by the way.
I know, he's so old. I think he's the oldest NFL coach.
He is.
Doesn't look like it, though.
Yeah.
Mm-mm. Yeah. Give him credit. Fairness, good for,
I want to hate Pete. I've always wanted to hate Pete. I like Pete.
He's great.
I like him. He's great.
I love him. I love Pete Carroll. Yeah, absolutely.
We both got crooked noses. It's great.
Basically the same guy.
You don't quite got that Pete swagger that he's got, though.
Well, yeah, guys,
smacking his gum and kind of, especially when they're winning. Oh, yeah.
Yeah, if you guys are listening to this, just picture Pete Carroll. That is what King looks like. He's got the white hair. Yeah. Always wears the sweatpants, chewing on his gum.
Joggers.
Yeah, the joggers, totally.
Copenhagen.
Yeah, those are the slight adjustments that make him King and not Pete Carroll.
Did you guys happen to catch Dylan Brooks's post-game fit tonight?
I did not.
Oh,
negative.
Man. Well, today was Mickey Mouse's 93rd birthday.
Oh, interesting.
Old-ass bitch.
Yeah, man.
Whoa, easy on Mickey. Jeez.
Speaking of nostalgia.
And here was Dylan Brooks's post-game fit today.
Oh, boy.
Yowzes.
Oh, boy.
Look at that hat. Look at that hat.
Oh, boy. That's a Mickey Mouse hat.
I'm Dylan. That's a charge. I flopped.
I flopped.
I'm Goofy. M-I-C-K-E-Y. M-O-U-S-C. That's me.
Hey, he flopped against Utah. How about that? Full circle. Let's go.
Boy, he really dealt. The flop heard around the world, literally.
Oh, man. That's good stuff.
What a good flop that was.
Ah, so good.
I miss that guy so much.
I do, too. He was
I know Marcus Mariota is supposed to be like, and Sabrina are supposed to be like our favorite Oregon athletes ever. It's Dylan Brooks.
Dylan Brooks, Herman Ho Ching. I mean, it's
Harris.
Short list.
No one hated Marcus, and really no one hated Sabrina either. Too good. Give me someone people hate.
You're soft. You're soft if you like Marcus Mariota.
Yeah, you are.
Sabrina the goat. Come on.
Yeah, guys, coming. Name another NFL duck and getting false starts now.
Name another duck athlete that would get Coach K all fucking fired up at you.
I'm saying. You can't date Hieronymus Grassu and be hardcore. Sorry, Sabrina. Sorry.
Hieronymus does seem like the nicest man. Him and Marcus living together just reminds me of the most like white picket fence lifestyle ever. Now they're out there every morning in their robes in tandems on a bike picking up the newspaper. Hi, Miss Johnson.
I knew
in the farmer's market together. Just
yes,
I knew Mario. Tomatoes. I knew Mariota was a guy I would never be able to get along with personally when I learned that he makes his bed every morning. I'm like, I can't relate to you as a person, dude. I'm sorry. I can't do it.
How do you leave your bed in the morning? Just out of curiosity.
Get out of bed.
You don't even half ass throw it back up.
So I do that later. So when I get up, because I'm still working from home. Jealous. I get out of bed and yeah, right. And then so I leave that corner, the corner's undone. So I pull the corner up to get out and then I just leave it like that. And I get up, get to work, do my thing, eat breakfast, do all that stuff. And then later on during the day, when I have like one of my breaks or something, I'll go in and like, I'll fold it back over. Yeah. And that's it. I'm not going to make my bed. What am I going to make my bed for? I'm not married. I got nobody to impress in here. It's me and my child, man. My kid doesn't care. She doesn't make her bed either. And I'm not going to make her. Damn it.
I fucking bounce a quarter off mine every morning to see if it's tight enough. Because I'm proud to be an American. Navy, that Marine shit.
I starch the hell out of my sheets.
Yeah.
Get out like bacon a ruler to make sure everything's top. Straight.
Yeah.
Make sure those corners are straight.
And then you like hit your kids with a stick when they don't get it straight enough.
I mean, listen, Bin Laden Switch. Probably wouldn't have messed with us if everyone made their bed in the morning. I'm just saying. It's a sign of a disciplined country.
No. I'm not letting you turn this around on me. No.
Do you make your bed, Ski, in the morning?
No, I just throw my fucking side back over.
Yep.
Yeah. The corner of it. Yeah. That's not to say that my bed is not made. I just am not the one doing it.
I was going to say, this sounds like woman's work, you guys. Nah, I don't know what you're talking about.
It's where I'm in Braga's corner to where I'm perfectly fine. I'm going to be back in the bed.
Exactly. So what am I making the bed for?
Made for?
What am I making the bed for?
The dust and stuff can fall on the inside.
I wash my sheets.
Well, I have a dog that sleeps on my bed. I have a dog that sleeps on my bed. I don't care about a little dust that might sprinkle onto my bed.
That's another big conversation, by the way, that I don't know if we want to get that controversial today. Talk about letting dogs sleep in the bed. I don't know if we want to go there. Like that might be too much. Too much for the listeners to take.
My blanket statement isn't even a dog statement, but it does exclude dogs. Is I have kids, right? And before I had kids, at some point I was young and single, right? So when I was young and single, I had to use my bedroom to, you know, get a little freaky with some, you know, magazine or a JPEG, you know? Yes. Yes, kids, we used to beat it to JPEGs.
Yeah, we would use these old computers with dial-up internet, and it would take a long time, and like the image would like slowly load a little bit at a time, and then you would like if the image wasn't good, tough luck, man. You're gonna have to make it work because that's the image you're gonna be able to download today on your Quest internet.
You know, and now I have kids, so it's my room is my sanctuary. I don't want anyone else in there but me and the wife. Get out. Kids, dogs, I don't care. Get out.
I respect that.
So that's not really a dog specific thing, but I will admit I'm probably a little over aggressive with my bedroom. You can come through and ask us questions, but no loitering. Like, just get out.
It sounds like you treat your children the same as your dogs.
But I will say, we've all owned dogs, right?
Yeah.
and we've all had sex, right? There are very few things more unsettling than having sex and having your dog look at you right in the eyes. It's very unsettling. We've all been there. Like, that's not, you know, it's not, you know, it's not an abnormal thing. That's another reason why I'm like, dogs.
Well, it's a good thing a dog is a little different than a child. You're like, hey, dog, get the fuck out of here. And you close the door on them and they go and lay down. The kid.
True.
You know, they bang on the door through the.
The dogs are more interested in it, though, because they can smell everything. They're getting all horned up, too.
Go on now. Go on now. Get out of here.
Stop
now.
Panting. Stop panting. It's not that hot. It's a quickie. Go away.
And you're always aware the whole time that the dog's in there looking at you. And you're just trying not to make eye contact. Like, man, just get the fuck out of here. Come on.
Before we had kids, we had a dog that had very, like, reflective eyes, and almost they glowed in the dark. So we never closed our door at that point, because we didn't have kids. We just had a dog, and Kahlua, bless her heart, would kind of sneak in when she smelled that whole adult thing going on, and you could just, her eyes were just piercing. It's very distracting. So super, I need to be super, on the bottom now.
Super bright yellow eyes just staring daggers at you.
She's judging me.
This podcast brought to you by the Green Hill Humane Society. Get yourself a dog baby. That can stare you down.
Oh boy, that went sideways. That took a turn.
All right, I'm just
being honest though. We've all been there.
Speaking of
cats,
segments,
are the worst though, because cats just judge you. They're like, you're never doing it right. Dogs are, they're excited. Cats are like, oh my god.
I don't get cats. Cats don't care about you.
Do you have a cat, Ski?
No.
No.
Yeah, cats. No.
We have a cat.
And how is it?
It's great, actually. So we got it.
Is it like a nice cat?
Does it
give a shit about you?
Here's the thing.
Yeah.
So it was our neighbor's cat, and they moved to like Nevada or something. And cats run away during moves. It's just kind of a thing cats do.
Right.
So we ended up keeping it about four years ago, maybe.
Wait, they do that, or if you leave them behind, they then travel 600 miles to where you move to and find you.
Yeah, there's no in between.
No, no.
They either just stay around, or they somehow
go on their pilgrimage.
Yeah, they surfboard across the Atlantic.
And they make a movie about it.
But she's she belongs to the streets. She greets kids when they're going to school. I hate, like, when I'm staying home or working from home or whatever, and I pick up the kids and I just see her like across the street, you know, like way far away greeting kids from school. I'm like, you're not that nice to us.
Yeah.
We feed you.
There's a cat like that in my neighborhood. When my daughter and I go for walks, it's always at the same house. And it always just sprints out to you, lets you pet it, and then it just follows you. Like, so it has followed us for like basically the entire walk before. We'll walk like, I don't know, like 20 minutes or something like that. And it'll follow us the whole time. And then like when we go back in the house, it's like, all right, bye. And then it just keeps walking. It's like, do you even know where you are? Like, you're not even close to where we found you.
Cats are weird.
Cats are weird, dude.
I think we're all on the same general agreement, though, that you can't trust a cat.
Never. They don't care about you. They don't give
a shit. They don't care about you. Yeah, they don't need you.
Yeah, they could live without you very easily. Yeah.
Dogs would take 100 years to, you know, really be able to live on their own. I know there are feral dogs, but as a whole genus, it would take them a while.
Your dog is way more emotionally attached to you than your cat is. It's not even a competition.
Yeah. I come home for lunch and my cat's like running away from me on the front porch where the dogs are drooling. I'm like, I'm just coming home and make a hot pocket. Leave me alone.
Yeah. Can I get a piece of that hot pocket?
Let me
get that hot pocket. Come on, man. We're cool. All right, let's do something. Let's do lines.
Before we get to lines, we need to spend like 5 minutes just on the totality of playing Utah.
Okay.
Well, I, we don't need picks.
I figured we'd get into it. I figured we'd get into it when he'd read our pick too, but this works.
Okay. That's fine. Yeah, let's do lines.
Okay. All right. Let's do lines. Do it, Ski.
Do the theme song.
Lines everywhere. Lines. Picking lines and snorting lines. Cutting lines because it's almost Christmas time. Lines.
If you would like to see the tabulation of our scores throughout the season, at Mike Booble.
don't at me. Do not at me.
It is not at TSB Ski. It is at Mike Booble. Thank you, Mike. I mean that, by the way. Thank you.
And he's still he's tabulating these after a year of us crushing his Cubs. So
He's a good
man.
Yep. He's a bigger man than me after what I've gone in on the Cubs with. So, all right.
Unless he's making up the numbers,
he could be.
And if he is, I'm cool with it because I'm winning. So whatever.
Well, maybe I'll make up the numbers. Maybe I'll remake the numbers up here.
There you go. Then we're gonna have you guys battle it out for who's actually right.
So last week, King and I, we each had 3 points. Braga, you had 4 points.
Oh, damn right.
So you're 49. All right. Oh, it was rough week for us. All right. Braga 49, King 47, me 46. So that's where we're at.
I believe that's because I had the Beavs as my star pick, right? I think I did.
Yes. And I had Wazoo as I had two games right because I had my star pick, Wazoo.
Yep. And the Beavs bowl eligible, by the way. Worth mentioning for 2 seconds.
Go Beavs. Yep. Man, we're done. Game one, we have Arizona at Washington State. Cougs, 15 and a half points.
Give me the Cougs.
Ooh, Cougs.
Yeah, I also have the Cougs, man. ASU is butt.
Shout out to Trudy, by the way.
Every time I pick ASU.
Trudy and D, go Cougs.
Lay an egg.
I'm going to take Zona. They seem to be hanging around these games lately, losing by 10, 7, 15 and a half. Too high.
Did you say Arizona State?
Arizona.
Or Arizona.
Wildcats. Wildcats.
I'm sorry. I didn't even know who was playing this week. I thought you said Arizona State. Listener, go back and make sure he didn't say what Arizona State.
ASU.
I'm picking Arizona then. If it's Arizona. I'm picking Arizona. I'm changing my pick.
You like Zona better than ASU against Washington State?
Yes, I do.
Well, I guess Washington State beat ASU by like 20, so it probably can't be much worse than that.
Right. All right. Next game, we got Huskies and Buffs. Huskies, 7.5-point favorite. Just bad game. I'm taking UW. Colorado's
that UW loss last week was so good, man.
It was perfect.
That was also on Bad Beats with SVP.
Was it?
Yeah. Oh, just a kick in the nuts for Husky fans. I'm going to UW on this. I still think they win by like 10 or 14.
Yeah, me too. I hate it, but yeah, I agree.
Yeah.
All right. Next game, we got the big matchup. We got Kings Bruins against the mighty Trojan of USC. And we got the Bruins 3.5-point favorite.
Oh, look at Jackson Dart fan over here, Dante Williams.
I
got SC, baby. I don't necessarily like it. I saw Jackson Dart against Wazoo for a half. Played himself a game. as long as it's not Slovis, like USC has a shot. Slovis is butt.
Got my Bruins, and that's my star pick.
Ooh! I tell you what, USC. Is my star pick.
No, you did not. No, you didn't.
Oh, yes, he did.
Oh, my goodness.
Oh, my goodness.
And it's Alex Braga. Star pick.
Star pick.
With the Trojans.
With the USC Trojans.
Oh, fucks. Sports bets.
I'm with King taking the Bruins. This is where King and I make some big moves here. Now you're taking them with your star pick.
It's a big week.
Big moves.
Week. Here we go.
Big moves. All right. Now we got, I'm going to say, the worst game of the week. We got Cal at Stanford. Cal, a 1.5 point favorite.
Are there players
It's just
back?
So.
Or do they have players to play?
I mean, they must have enough.
Yeah,
but. Does it matter against Stanford?
Yeah, I'm gonna go Cal, because Stanford fucking sucks, dude.
can't good.
They got their one. They got their one Stanford. Win. That's all they needed. I'm taking Cal way, too. I'm taking COVID over Stanford. So
that's the best way to describe Stanford I've ever heard. Stanford. They suck, dude.
They suck. Did you watch them on Saturday?
Right? Yes, they're so,
so
bad.
Random freshman quarterback who I'd never heard of. They're so bad.
I'm also picking COVID over Stanford.
Yeah.
I'm picking drinking bleach over Stanford at this point. I just can't. I know I'll keep this brief. I don't want to get us derailed. Help! I know it's a different team. I know the ref sucked. Anthony Brown had his worst game at Oregon. Help a freaking flipping heck did Oregon lose to Stanford? I know there's no Joe Moorhead. I get it. Oh my God! So bad.
If there's any college, you know, college playoff committee, if they leave Oregon out and they point to that game, I'll be like, okay. Okay, they lost to that Stanford team. Okay, I get it. This other one lost team can be ahead of the Ducks.
Not the first time. Not going to be the last time. I get it. Yep, they lost to a bad Stanford team. Yep.
All right. Next game, we got Arizona State and, as Braga said, the newly bowl-eligible Beavers. ASU, 3.5 point favorite, traveling to Corvallis.
My Beavs all day. Give me that. Hashtag my Beavs.
I'm going to go with ASU. Second straight week in the Pacific Northwest. They know how to handle the rain. The Beavs are a little high because they got their first, you know, they're bowl eligible for the first time in 8 years. But the Beavs are wearing 2000 Fiesta Bowl year throwbacks.
Mm. Yeah, they are.
I'm still going to go with the Devils.
Tough to pick, tough
the Beavs
against,
are going to look better on the field.
They're going to win the uniform game. Oh, baby. Those are so good.
All right. I'm taking the Beavs because this is perfectly set up for ASU to get slaughtered too. Like, I think Beavs by over 2 touchdowns.
ASU has to be one of the most disappointing teams in the whole conference. Like, all they do every week.
For a 7-3 team too, it's like
so weird. Like, it looked like they were going to lose to Washington last week. Then, you know, Washington remembered they were Washington and ASU pulled it out, but. Man, ASU is just, I don't know what the hell they are from week to week. So we'll find out. Guess we'll find out the Pac-12 title game, right? I don't know. Maybe.
All right. Our throw-in game this week, we got the mighty Spartans traveling to Columbus against the Buckeyes. Buckeyes, 18.5 point favorites against newly minted head coach Michigan State.
And before we get into picking the lines here. This game is number 4 versus number 6, right? Number 7?
7, I think.
Okay.
I think 7.
Yeah, they're behind Michigan, I think.
Okay. Yeah. Yes, yeah. 4 versus 7.
Yeah.
And the line is almost 20 points. So remember this, guys, who want to expand the college football playoff, that we have a 4 versus 7 with a 20-point spread. Have fun with 12 versus 1. That's gonna be a joy for all of us.
We haven't even gotten to the Oregon spread yet, by the way.
Right.
Speaking of which.
But does this only happen in the Big Ten? If it's a 4 versus 7 SEC game.
Oh, it's close.
Or even Pac-12. This is only because Ohio State could score points and everyone else in the Big Ten cannot score that many points. Maybe. That's why that's why I think any Ohio State game like this is usually a huge spread like this.
And I think, like, I think the big factor is that Michigan State, I think the stat is that they've surrendered the most first downs through the air in the nation and the second most first downs period in the nation.
Yeah.
So I'm picking the Buckeyes minus whatever.
Minus whatever.
Yeah, I don't care.
Yeah. I have Ohio State too. I think right now, by the way, to your point, I think if Georgia played Alabama right now, I think Georgia would be like a 15-point favorite.
No, I would.
I'd wager my house on Bama if I'm getting two touchdowns.
Yeah,
the way
definitely under a touchdown.
I don't think it matters. Doesn't matter. It's Bama. It's Saban. Oh,
man,
that's a 10-point cushion, right there.
I think Georgia beats him by 3 touchdowns.
Ooh, man. Spicy! Yeah. We'll see in a couple of weeks.
Well,
Georgia's so fucking good.
And hey, for Oregon's purposes, that's great.
Yeah. Just after all those great stats that you gave there, King, I'm taking Sparty.
Oh, look at you.
You're just losing that point that you're going to gain with the UCLA game.
Jeff Smoker and Connor Cook homer right here.
Yeah.
This guy wears a Rocky Lombardi jersey.
It's purely because Michigan State is kind of like Stanford. They just mud every game up that they're in. They're going to make this game ugly. I think it's going to hurt. Ohio State's not going to score as many points. And they need to score. I hope they could score 20. It's kind of where I'm at. If they could score 20, I think I got a shot.
I will say that Sparty running back, how the hell was he just like at Duke and just as a grad transfer?
Yeah. Right.
I'd never heard of him before this year, Kenneth.
Yeah, Walker. Same.
Before they played Miami in September, I'd never heard of this guy. Duke.
All right, then final game, we got Ducks, we got the Utes. Utes, 3.5-point favorite. It's probably going to, I mean, it's at 3, but for our lines purposes, we have the half point. We aren't going to fucking ties in this piece. But I bet that line drops to probably closer to 1.5 or 2 by game time. But we're here now, so 3.5.
And the FPI gives Utah a 62% chance to win.
Ooh.
What am I missing?
What did they give Utah before?
What am I missing here?
I don't know.
Why is Utah favored? The road? So the road gives you like 4, right? Doesn't the road give you 4 points?
It depends.
Field goal 4 plus, they'll say.
Yeah.
What? Utah's good. They're a good team. They've also looked pretty bad a few times this year too.
Granted, different quarterback.
But... And Oregon, like we talked about, they've been, you know, kind of dominating the line of scrimmage, and they're going against a team where they kind of rely on dominating the line of scrimmage. And so if Oregon does that against Utah, I don't really see what Utah has. You know, like I don't get it.
Utah, they've run the ball fairly okay. They brought that rising in after, what was that, week 2 or 3? And kind of turned the lead to passing game. Yeah, on a good defensive line.
Lloyd is really good.
Really good.
Quarterback can make some plays here and there. Like, I get it.
But he doesn't throw downfield.
He doesn't. I get why they're good. I just don't see how they're favored over Oregon. I don't get it.
My thing with Utah is Kyle... I don't know how to say this and not come off disrespectful. Kyle Whittingham's a good coach, right?
Yeah.
And he coaches at a program that doesn't get the best athletes. I feel like that just perpetually gives him a bump, though, and then a bump in their lines. Because they're like, well, he does more with less. It's one of those. They're tough, and they do more with less. But Oregon and Utah ostensibly play the same kind of style. Right.
Yeah. Yeah.
And Oregon has better athletes.
They do, like, by a lot.
And you want to know who's Oregon's offensive coordinator?
The guy who doesn't have a beard anymore.
Joe Moorhead. Who's Utah's offensive coordinator?
Is it Brian Johnson? I don't even know. Okay.
He used to be an Oregon offensive coordinator.
Matt Lubick.
Initials are AL.
Andy Ludwig?
Andy Ludwig.
Is it really?
It really is.
Wow.
All right. Well, then I can't trust the Andy Ludwig led.
Can't trust offense. The Ludwig offense. Like, what are we doing here?
So weird.
Well, I mean, my star pick is Oregon. I mean, this feels like the Pac-12 championship game when Utah was like, they thought they were just going to come in and crush the Ducks. Oh, kind of has that same exact feel. Same feel to this game.
Wasn't that game so, I think, like, God, that game was so funny.
Yeah. It kind of feels like you're saying, too, I think Utah's kind of getting propped up a little bit, like you said, with they're scrappy. I mean, it's always tough to – it's tough to win.
You
it's tough to win there,
Salt
too.
Salt Lake City. Yeah.
But, yeah, I mean, come on. Something doesn't add up here.
I have Oregon too. When I see spreads like this, it always makes me ask what the hell they know that I don't know. Cause Vegas knows this stuff. Like what are they seeing that's making them favor Utah? So I guess Oregon losing Pittman, Oregon maybe losing Johnny Johnson.
So Griff, that Page and
yeah, it's big, I guess.
But is this a game where the Ducks can win by just running the ball?
Yeah, well, they've run for over 300 yards the last 2 weeks. I mean, I think they've established that they're going to keep doing that to teams because it works.
And my thing with Utah is
Utah. By the way,
did you watch?
Look at what they did against Arizona. I think you were just about to go there.
I was even going to. I mean, that wasn't a great game
against the Beavs. Were you
the Beavs? Where Oregon State just ran the ball.
Yeah.
Every single time, just ran. And scored like 40 when they were down by like maybe close to 20, like right off the bat. Was it 17-0 Utah? And
it was 17-0,
The Beavs won by like 14. I don't know. This could just be all of us being like, they're from the WAC and the Mountain West. Just don't believe it. I just don't believe in them. And Utah's beaten Oregon. I mean, we've seen that. They beat that Helfrich team in 2015 by 97 points. With Jeff Lockie, but
a lot of people beat that Helfrich team.
Yes, and you know Utah beat them in 2018, I think, you know, fairly closely in a really shitty game. But I don't trust Utah.
I mean, is there any kind of is there a history here? I mean, this isn't like Dana again, like playing at Colorado and at Utah, where he just doesn't win there ever.
No, there's no
history. I feel like there's not a precedent of the Utah beating the shit out of us every time there. So I don't know.
Yeah.
All right. We got like,
so 10 as we all picked,
we got like 10 minutes and two more things to get to. So let's, did we make our Oregon picks?
Yep. Oregon. All of us are on the Ducks.
All of us picked Oregon. Okay. Yep. All right. I guess we'll find out what Vegas was thinking this week. All right. So let's do our list. And King, I believe you came up with a list this week, right?
We're going to make it really quick because we're running out of time because Oregon is going to Salt Lake City. The list is your top three salts.
Top three salts.
There it is.
All right. Your list. What's your three?
My number three is salt from Salt and Peppa, because what you want to do. I want to shoot.
Shoop de doop. Shoop de doop. Shoop de doop de doop de doop. That's a good choice. My number three, iodized salt. That would be table salt, ladies and gentlemen.
That would be table salt.
put it in my eggs. Little salt and pepper every morning. Love me some iodized salt. Let's go.
All right. My number three is the 2010 blockbuster salt starring Angelina Jolie. Salt.
You do not like that movie.
I never seen it.
My number two. My number two favorite salt, because I've met a rabbi. Kosher salt.
There you go. My number two is sea salt.
Sea salt!
Yeah, boy. Give me some big chunks of salt. Put it all over my meat. Let's go.
My number two is Epsom salt.
Take a soak, baby.
Just I want to take a soak every now and then.
Sometimes you just want to take a soak. Sometimes your muscles hurt. You just want to take a soak.
my number one salt, because everything is for the gram, as the kids say.
Oh, yeah.
Is Hawaiian style black lava salt. You don't like it, but it looks good in a picture.
Yeah, that's a salt you have in the background while you're cooking something on IG Live. Yeah.
Yep.
I've never used it in my life, but I got it. It looks cool, man. Himalayan sea salt, that pink stuff.
Yeah.
Never used it in my life, but it's there. My number one, tears from Husky fans this week after Jimmy Lake got fired. It tastes so good. It tastes so good. Put some of that shit on my eggs.
Mm. Mm. And my number one was the pink Himalayan sea salt.
In your face.
In my face. How often do you use that?
Almost never. Never.
I have a grinder of it from Costco, so I kind of use it, but it's a lot of work.
You use it because the grinder is a toy and they're fun to play with.
Yes, that's absolutely. 100%.
All right, let's get to trivia. I have some Utah trivia. I believe King started last week, I think, right? I don't know. Let's start with Ski. Ski, what conference was Utah in before the Pac-12?
The WAC.
Yeah, King like just mentioned it. Yes.
I know. What is?
That is the correct answer, and King is gone. So you get question number two as well.
Hey. Oh, he's back.
I was just going to give Ski question number two because you were gone. All right, King. Here's one of the big reasons Utah joined the Pac-12. 2009, they won the Sugar Bowl, finished as the only undefeated team in the nation. They finished sixth in the BCS, even though they were undefeated. Who did they beat in the Sugar Bowl that year?
Nick Saban and the Crimson Tide of Alabama.
Yes, they did. We got 1-1. Ski, Utah has only had 8 first-round picks in their history. Who's their only number one overall?
Alex Smith.
That is the correct answer. King, this former Detroit Lion, also Utah's all-time leader in total yards, passing yards, and passing touchdowns.
It's a quarterback?
Mm-hmm.
No idea.
Ski, your options. Charlie Batch, Scott Mitchell, John Kitna.
What was the team you said? The Vikes?
Lions.
Lions. I'm going to say Kitna is the Lions.
It's
right?
Charlie Batch, isn't it?
The answer is Scott Mitchell, as a matter of fact.
Oh,
lefty.
Full throttle.
Handed off to Barry Sanders. Made a nice career out of it. All right, so who goes to this? This is you, Ski, right?
Wait.
Yeah, okay. This Emmy-nominated Utah alumni has been a sideline reporter for ESPN for over 20 years, primarily covers women's basketball, but is also the sideline reporter for ESPN's Saturday Night Football. Who is it?
Oh, God. What a deep cut.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Sideline reporter who's been with ESPN for over 20 years. There aren't that many.
I was thinking EA. I'm going to say Erin Andrews. I think it's been about 20 years.
I think she works for Fox. So no.
Does she have Fox now?
Yeah. I think she exclusively does NFL on Fox now. Yeah. All right. Your options, sure. King. Shelly Smith, Holly Rowe, Lisa Salters.
Holly Rowe.
Holly Rowe is the correct answer.
Oh, because I think Shelly Smith went to SC. That nice was my work. Saving grace there.
Yep. King, who is Utah's all-time leader in rushing yards and touchdowns?
Zach Moss.
Is the correct answer.
That's the only guy, that's the only running back I knew.
See, I wanted to say Chris Fuamatu Maafala, but
he's one of the options.
See?
And then Devontae Booker, the like the Giants
guy.
Yeah.
Ski,
what is the name of Utah's mascot?
What's a Ute?
I know. The two Utes?
What is a Ute?
I'm Joe Pesci. That's what it'd be. He's a Ute. I guess it'd be Ralph Macchio. Ralph Macchio, final answer.
Ralph Macchio is not the name of the mascot, no. Do you want to guess?
Thunderbird. No, I don't want to guess. Give me the option.
Oh, I'm asking Ski. Do you want to guess?
No. Okay. Ralph Macchio is as good a guess I got.
All right, King, your options are Wings, Ute, and Swoop.
Oh, Swoop.
Oh.
The answer is Swoop, yes.
It had to be Swoop, yeah.
Wings.
Yeah. Wings.
Paul McCartney-ass logo mascot. Fuck the Beatles.
Oh, I'm with you, 100%.
A little Tony Shalhoub vehicle wings, please.
Let's not get into our Beatles suck takes right now. Let's not do that to the
shitty
new
Beatles.
Listeners.
How were they? The shitty.
They suck. Also, it's not just a clever name.
All right, King. This is you, King, right? Yes, it is. Utah plays a rivalry game against someone that is known as the Rumble in the Rockies. Who do they play?
I only know it because it's so dumb. It's Colorado. It's a fake rivalry.
It is Colorado. By the way, you win with that one. You have five. Started in 1910 when they were in the Rocky Mountain Athletic Conference. They didn't play for nearly 50 years until the Pac-12 rejoined
them. Yeah, great.
What a rivalry.
What a rivalry.
What a rivalry.
They play like 70 games, to be fair.
Just a little 50-year gap in there.
Yeah. Just a little bit.
All right, the bonus is, who is Utah's all-time winningest coach? There's no way you'll know this.
Ron McBride.
It is Ike Armstrong.
Oh, Ike.
Yeah.
IA is what I call them.
What is the name of Utah's rivalry with BYU?
The Holy War.
It is called the Holy War. Yep. And that is Utah trivia. Hey, Ducks, beat Utah.